Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Typically on Mondays, we talk to Rob, talking to him on Tuesday, but we welcome in our pal from ESPN.com, Rob Domofsky. Good morning, Rob. How's everything today? Everything good now? You set?
There were issues yesterday. I found out what happens when you get a flat tire on a rental car. Leaving Minneapolis, pulling out of the stadium at about, I don't know, I guess it was about 7:30. Thinking up 4 hours home, I'll be home by 11:30. Just getting on 94, hit a pothole, boom, tire blows up. So I pull over. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the company, but they did a hell of a job. National rental car, you call their helpline. They sent somebody over to change the tire. The problem is, it's one of those, you know, those little tiny tires.
Oh, it's the donut.
Yeah, and they're like, well, how far are you going? I'm like, well, to Green Bay. And they're like, well, not on this tire, you're not. And I had to go to the airport, which was all the way. I had to backtrack to the airport, exchange the car. That took a little bit of time, but not too bad. Finally got a new car. Long story short, got home at about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Took a handful of melatonin and just slept right through the radio hit. Well, because you know you're trying to stay awake driving, right?
Oh, so yeah.
Then you're wired and you can't go to sleep when
not
you get
when
home.
You get home. Nope.
So, handful of melatonin gummies and never even heard my alarm. Never heard you guys call.
Well, we're glad you were able to figure that out. And now everybody knows what happens if you get a flat tire in your rental car.
Yeah, call them. Don't call AAA. You call the company, and they'll take care of it. They had a guy out there putting the donut on within 30 minutes.
Which, oh, wow.
Anybody who's had a flat tire and had to wait on the side of the road for, you know, a tow truck or somebody, it usually takes an hour or two.
Yeah, that is fast service. So in the game, this is where I started with Jason as well when he joined us earlier today. So I want to ask, since you were there, are there any players, because I think we're dismissing the offensive performance, but defensively I thought they held up for a bunch of backups playing mostly starters. Are there any players on the defense that you saw in the game on Sunday that you think could have a role on the defense going forward in the postseason?
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way, Gabe, because, yeah, there were some guys that played well, but does it matter because, you know, the starters are coming back? I do think there were a couple, and I think it starts with Baron Sorrell. I mean, he showed some run-stopping ability. I think it was a third and one. He jumped in there, stopped the run. He got after the quarterback. He played really well. And given the issues that they've had with Rashawn Gary not playing, you know, more than half the snaps, Lucas Van Ness, and obviously not having Micah. I think he will get some rotational snaps and should get some rotational snaps. Trevon Diggs is the other big one, right? Did you see enough to say, we were going to start him at cornerback instead of Carrington Valentine? And we asked Matt LaFleur that after the game, and he would not rule out that possibility. So I thought Diggs tackled well, which is something that they desperately need at that position. I don't know, Gabe, though, that we saw enough of his coverage to know whether he can hold up or not.
Did they pull him at some point in the game? Because I don't remember him being out there late in the fourth quarter, and then I looked at the snap chart after the game. He only played, I think it was 49% of the snaps.
Yeah, I think it was 32 out of 65 or something like that. I think they pulled him because that tells you they probably didn't want him to get hurt. They saw enough. If he was going to if he was not going to be a factor, they probably would have just let him finish the game. But that tells me, and again, why sort of we asked if he could start, that tells me they're thinking about it at least.
Rob, what's the locker room like? I mean, you've been around false chatter before, and
Yeah. You
know, going through the motions and type, are they there or do they actually believe that they can do something in the playoffs?
Yeah, some of the times, Chewy, you don't know it's false chatter till after the fact, right? Like, it's hard to tell. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that I think it's legit, and they all seem to be sharing the same message. Jordan Love talked to the team after the game, which I think is it's a good thing for a quarterback leader to do, and in the locker room, in the Metrodome, got everybody together and delivered a message that says, hey, we got it. It's time to go. This is the real deal now. I always used to joke that, or Brett used to always joke that, like, now you're going to start playing because it's the playoffs. Well, in this case, they didn't play in the finale. So I guess it actually applies in this. But, I always used to, like, appreciate Brett saying, like, oh, you're just going to try harder now? Why weren't you trying as hard before? So. But I do think in this case, maybe it applies.
I just remember the mindset, Rob, in 98 when we went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
The TO game where it's not that we didn't try.
No.
We knew we weren't good enough. We got blown out twice by Minnesota. They were in front of us. Atlanta was just coming off of a Super Bowl. We would have had to go there. I mean, players aren't stupid. I'm just
Right. And what happened to Minnesota, though, right? Wasn't that their 15-1 season?
Yeah.
Shout out to Gary Anderson.
Yeah. But, to that point in that season, there might be some parallel because I think we all kind of had a feeling Mike Holmgren was out the door. The year before at Super Bowl 32, there was talk of him, going somewhere where he could be coach and GM. And, this year, there is some uncertainty around Matt LaFleur and his status. So I do, there is a parallel there. But I go back to Chewy. I just don't know, at least from us, from the outside, you just never know what's real and what's not until after the fact.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you brought up Matt LaFleur. Did you see the comments that your colleague Adam Schefter had yesterday about the Matt LaFleur situation?
No, I probably slept through that too.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's play it for you and get your reaction. Okay. This is what Adam Schefter had to say about Matt LaFleur and the Packers yesterday on the Pat McAfee show.
Team succeeding Mark Murphy. He is the one in charge of those decisions. And Matt LaFleur was asked about his job security this year and commented on it, which led to about a week worth of speculation. And again, I feel the same way about Matt LaFleur that I do Kevin Stefanski. If they moved on, and he's going to be going into the last year of his deal, I think he'd get a job in this cycle as well. So I don't think it'd be much of an issue. I think the bigger deal here is, can they figure out a contract of fair value to keep him there? I think that's what this is about, them trying to negotiate a contract, seeing what they can come up with, seeing if they get a deal done. If they get the deal done, it's a non-talking point, and his future is secure there. If they can't figure out a contract that works for both sides, well, then you have to ask yourself, are they willing to let him go into the last year of his deal, which he would be, or what do you do about that? And very rarely do teams want coaches going into the last year of their deal, which I believe the priority will be to re-sign him to an extension this offseason. And let's see what happens with that first.
Can they come to a contract that is a fair deal between the two of them, I think, is the big highlight there.
I agree.
So it seems like now we're past the, do they want him back? It seems like we've moved into their negotiating phase.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think that the salary and where it ranks among all the other head coaches is an issue. Now, if he goes in and says, I want to be paid like Andy Reid and Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, I don't know if they do it. Now, to me, you shouldn't – if you think he's the coach, you pay him whatever you have to have. You don't – to me, I guess what I'm trying to say, Gabe, is we don't say, we want him as the coach if it's $12 million, but we don't want him as the coach if it's $16. Either you think he's the guy or you don't, and then you just – you figure out the money. And I still think – I really, and I think Adam's right about that. There is negotiating and jockeying going on, but I really believe that everything remains on the table from people that I've talked to, that they could sign him to an extension, they could let him go in and play out the last year, they could move on, he could choose not to sign an extension and say trade me. I think any of the possible scenarios remain on the table. I really do.
Well, Gabe, you know, Gabe's stance is I don't really care about the money. It doesn't affect the cap. But that's not how Green Bay operates. You had a president two years ago that tried to get a rent reduction when he's getting a check for $300 million from the, you know. This is a cost-conscious organization. Yeah. So they're not going to go, hey, Matt, here's a five-year deal, $13 million average.
Yeah, no, they're not. There's definitely not a blank check situation, Chewy. But here's the thing that nobody knows, and you know, we just haven't seen Ed Policy in this position before, right? Ed has never, you know, I think Ed's really fit and a good pick for the job. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form, but he's never run a team before, and he's never had to. We don't know what his history is. Now, you can talk about his dad. You know, he moved on from these legendary coaches. Well, you know, like we talked about last week, Chewy, you're not just, you know, just because your dad is something doesn't mean that you're the same way. But we just, we don't know. We don't know Ed's thinking. Ed's very close to the vest. But I do think, you know, from what I can gather, I'm not 100% sure a decision has been made one way or another yet.
Whenever the season ends, whether that's Sunday in Chicago, whether that's, you know, if they win that game, then down the line, do you think that they come to a resolution rather quick after the season ends?
I do. I don't think this is going to be, unless it's we're not doing anything and you're leaving, you know, you're stuck with this contract in one more year.
That to me, Rob.
They have to make some sort of announcement. And look, I know Ed said over the summer, I don't like lame duck, you know, GMs and head coaches, but maybe he's changed his mind on that. I don't think that's the right way to go. Adam said, it very rarely happens. And Mike McCarthy did it. And, you know, look what happened. He ended up not, you know, getting another contract after they just played out the deal in Dallas.
I'm curious both of your thoughts on this. Because of all the possible scenarios that you just laid out, Rob, I think the riskiest one is just playing out the year. I feel playing out a one-year contract is not good for anybody. I don't think it's good for LaFleur. I don't think it's good for the Packers. I think that's the riskiest proposition for everybody if that's the route they go.
Yeah, it puts way too much – I don't want to say pressure because there's pressure on every season. But it's every tiny little thing will be under a microscope, and which is exactly what it was in Dallas in Mike McCarthy's last year. If you remember, even before when they fired McCarthy – that offseason, he had 1 year left on his deal, and they actually added a year to that contract. They did it very quietly and very secretly, and nobody knew about it, I think, until after Mike got fired. But, it's whatever they do, and I think they need to make it clear publicly what happens. They can't just do an extension and not tell anybody. They can't not do an extension and not tell anybody. Like, it's important for next season's success or failure, how they handle it, both privately and publicly.
Rob, with six head coach openings after yesterday, you think Halfley's gone?
You know, I thought so, a couple weeks ago, just not, you know, thinking about who all the other candidates are. Then, Chewy, once you start to see these reports that, you know, this team wants to interview this guy, this team wants to interview that guy, there's a lot of candidates out there. There really are. More than I guess maybe there's not like a Ben Johnson, but there are a lot of people getting interviews. And, you know, Matt LaFleur was probably not on anybody's high list when the Packers interviewed him, and he blew him away in the interview process. So, you know, maybe one of these guys goes in that you don't think is going to be a top tier candidate and blows an owner or GM away and they hire him. And that, you know, that could hurt a guy like Jeff Halfley. But I do think he's going to get interviews at least one, if not multiple interviews, and you know, then it's up to him what he can do with it. But I thought, you know, a while ago, and this is not a reflection of how the Packers played on defense down the stretch. It really isn't. It's just a matter of I realized there was a lot more candidates than maybe I thought, and good candidates. I thought maybe there was a better than 50-50 chance he was a head coach next year. Now I would say it's probably slightly lower than that. Still probably 60-40 or 40-60 for him getting a head coaching job, but I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means.
Your thoughts on the Packers matchup against the Bears? This is the one they wanted, right? They wanted to go to Chicago versus going to Philly.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur can say after if they win this game, boy, I sure enjoyed beating Ben Johnson twice this year because he will have beaten him twice. Whoever wins this game will get to say that.
Or I guess it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we rested our players.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We saw how they played against the Bears for 59 minutes, right? Or 58 minutes, whatever it was. They should feel good about that. They should have confidence going in there. They should have good health. I think it's a very, very winnable game. I really do.
Rob, we always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week, hopefully after a Packers victory.
All right. Sounds good, guys. We'll be seeing you.
Rob Domofsky joins us Mondays. Had some issues yesterday, so he joined us Tuesday this week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can join wrestling legend Kevin Nash January 31st at Potawatomi Casino Hotel for an elevated viewing experience of the Royal Rumble. Our podcast, GKW, Good Karma Wrestling, we're going to be there doing a live show before with Kevin. Going to do a live reaction show after as well. But this is my favorite pro wrestling event of the year. I absolutely love it. You can watch your favorite WWE superstars battle it out in the match of the year. It's going to be happening in the annex of Potawatomi Casino. Here's how you get in to the Royal Rumble party at Potawatomi. For $100 a ticket, you get two complimentary drinks, an unlimited buffet access, a photo, and autographs. You get access to the legendary Kevin Nash, $25 in reward or match play to your favorite games on Potawatomi, and a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. Secure your spot. Just visit Potawatomi's website today and enjoy January 31st, the Royal Rumble at Potawatomi with GKW and Kevin Nash.